You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What's up?
What it is, what it do.
Welcome back to another movie show.
On Active FM.
Right here on Active FM with me, Sash.
And myself, Ryan.
Yes. And today, we are going to be reviewing.
Wait, what if they're listening at night?
Right now, we are going to be. Right now. We don't speak for an hour. We're only here for like 30 minutes, so enjoy us while you've got us.
So we are talking about right now.
But just before we go on to our movie review, Ryan and I proved our worthiness of the movie show, of being presenters or hosts of the movie show.
So you are listening to professionals.
Yes. If you don't know what we're talking about, so on The Shade last week's episode, Tabo questioned us. He questioned whether we're worthy or not by asking us a whole lot of movie questions. Now, to be honest, whenever you search movie quiz questions, they're always asking questions on like, normally it's older movies, and those normally the questions are hard. Ryan, have you ever taken a movie quiz?
Yes, the Google movie quiz show.
Any quiz. They're all like, I don't know.
I know that one. I know what it's talking about. Oh, you don't know what the movie is.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So you can't even answer the quiz because... So I was worried personally. Ryan, I know you were worried.
I was just like, this is it. I'm going to get fired. They're going to figure it out. I don't know anything at all.
But surprisingly enough, we both knew stuff.
And I think research within our career actually supported. It helped us a lot. There
it
were some
really
questions
did.
Like, which pill did, or what was it? Was it called a pill?
Yes. Which yes. did the red pill or the blue pill?
Was it the red pill or the blue pill that Neo took? In front of Morpheus, right? It was
yes.
Morpheus in The Matrix. Which one did he take? Was it the red one or the blue one? If you said the blue one, you are wrong. He took the red one.
Yes. So go listen. If you feel like you need to hear mine and Ryan's worthiness of the movie show, you can go listen to that show. But now that we are worthy of doing the movie show, Ryan,
Let's do this
movie review?
Let's kill it.
So we are going to be reviewing the film Love and Monsters. It's a 2020 film. It's actually just been released now in October. So it's fresh off the market. It's new. Yeah. So it's amazing. We're actually watching a 2020 film.
Yep. If you want to see it, you said it was available on Prime Time.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, yes. Prime Time. Listen to me, Prime. Yes, if you're an Amazon subscriber, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Make your day.
I don't think they've released this in cinemas, though, which is weird. I don't know why they've done. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, maybe it was just in South Africa that they didn't. So in South Africa, I never saw it in cinemas when looking for movies to watch. But maybe overseas they did release it. I'm not sure. If you know, you can let us know. But in South Africa, they didn't. So you'd have to find it online then and watch it online. But this film, the reason it caught me, right, is because of the main actor in it. And the main actor is Dylan O'Brien. If you don't know who that is, he plays Thomas in the Maze Runner series. So he's a brilliant actor. We all loved him in Maze Runner. We were all like, yep, that dude's amazing. And do you remember, I don't know if you remember, Ryan, when we were doing Maze Runner, it was the third one, The Death Cure.
Yep.
He had an accident, quite a bad accident during filming, which postponed filming. It caused the film to be released later than expected. But he actually almost didn't continue acting after that accident because of how severe the accident was. He was considering giving up his acting career. So I'm really glad that he didn't give up his acting career because then, yeah, he wouldn't
Makes
have
you think,
been
huh?
in Love and Monsters.
Before you give something up, think about what you could be missing. Okay, I'm not talking about bad habits and stuff like that. I'm talking about, good careers and stuff.
But the reason why I enjoyed him in this film is because he was totally different from Thomas in The Maze Runner. Like, even in the beginning, it didn't sound like him. Do you get what I'm saying? Because in Maze Runner, he was a very serious character. He was the dude, the hero. He was leading the team, the squad. Like, he knew, do you understand? He was the hero of the film. Whereas in this film, he's kind of like just this teenager who's growing up. And while he was growing up, an apocalypse happened. And now he's trying to survive. And he freezes and he freaks out.
Or, what is it? Freezor?
No, he does. He just freezes.
Yeah, he just freezes.
Normally, it's flight or fight.
Flight.
He doesn't fly. He doesn't fight or he doesn't run away. He freezes.
Right.
Yes. And the whole film's about his journey into the world. Yes. Love and monsters. And the monsters come in. It's actually, it was a pretty cool concept. Like, the whole concept of the film was really cool. So there's an asteroid that's going to hit the Earth. And what does the Earth do? Bing, nuclear weapons. Yay. And then they destroy the asteroid, but there's chemicals that now come back down from the whole nuclear thing. And they don't say why, but for some reason, it then changes any insect, amphibian, reptile, anything of that sort. It makes it grow like 10 times in number and becomes a monster. So basically, they're living on an Earth where insects are at the top of the food chain and have eaten 95% of the world's population.
I love Active FM.
Christ music is hot music.
Our music at Active FM is lit.
Going up like a mansion. I ain't got no reason.
Everybody on the dance floor now. Christ is the one we lift our hands for now.
You're tuned in to Active FM.
So just to give you the budget for the film, it was $28 million, so pretty normal budgets. Box office is currently sitting at $579,078. So it's doing pretty well, especially because of, you know, the pandemic. And I mean, films haven't been able to have proper premieres, et cetera, et cetera. So it is doing pretty well for the box office and for this time of I want to say this time of life, because the whole corona thing has happened. And then the production company that was involved in making this film is actually a company called 21 Laps Entertainment. Now, I was quite interested when I saw that in the beginning, because I know that 21 Laps Entertainment is the production company for Stranger Things. The founder of 21 Laps is actually the producer of Stranger Things. So it's the same production company. They're also bringing out a film. I think it's going to be coming out towards the end of the year, called Free Guy. It's with Ryan Reynolds in it. It's also a comedy. It does look very good. And it's also got the guy that acts as Steve in Stranger Things. He's in that film as well. So from the start, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is a cool production company. So, and they've done a lot. They've actually been around for a long time. You'd think they're pretty new because of Stranger Things and that, but they're not. They've been around for a while. They did The Arrival. Do you know that 21 Laps did The Arrival? Or Arrival, not The Arrival.
Okay.
They did both Nights at the Museums in 2009 and 2014. They did The Internship. So they do a lot of comedy movies. Obviously, there are some that are more serious. They did Date Nights, which was also a comedy. The Watch, which was also a comedy. So mainly, I'd say they focus on comedies, but they've actually been around for a while. They've been around for, because I mean, The Internship was 2013. The first Night at the Museum was 2009. So they've been around. It's pretty cool, actually. But yeah, now they're making films that are, they make different types of films. I don't know how to explain it. They don't make films that are like the same as everything else. I don't know if you find that. Like, The Arrival wasn't the same. Love and Monsters. It's all different types of films. And then just to give you a bit of background on the actors. So Dylan O'Brien plays the main character. Then the director of the film is a man named Matthew Michaels. Ryan, have you watched an interview with him?
Sorry, with?
Matthew Michaels.
With Matthew Michaels, no.
He, so Ryan did research and found out that he is South African. He is completely South African. I was watching an interview and I was like, this guy sounds South African.
Why did he start off and was like, hey, how's it, China's?
Okay. No. He's not that type of South. But he's definitely South African. You can hear in his accents, which was pretty cool. Then there's the second main character, I'd say, is Jessica Henwick. She plays Amy in the film. She's the love interest, because obviously it's Love and Monsters. I do recognize her face. She acted in a film called Underwater. I watched that film. It wasn't a good film. I wouldn't suggest you go watch it. It was, yeah, you know when you get to the end of a movie and you're just like, But I think I recognize her face from there. And then the one person I wanted to talk about is the girl that plays Minnow. So that's Ariana Greenblatt, if that's how you pronounce her surname. Now, the whole time I was like, where is this little girl from? Because I felt like I recognized her. She played the young version of Gamora in Avengers Infinity War. So she is young Gamora. Obviously, you don't recognize her because Gamora's green and purple, but she's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
She's only 13 years old. That's quite funny. I'm sure that when the cast sort of gets together, they're like, ah, it's you again. Ah, what's up? Although, wait, let's think about this. So I spoke about Michael Rooker, and obviously he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. And what we worked out is that they would have missed each other if you know the whole MCU. But it's weird how it seems like such a small world with, what are they? Not enough actors, but yeah, she's only 13 years old, eh?
Yes. And then Michael Rooker. So those two are the two survivors that Dylan O'Brien comes into contact with. It's a man and a young girl. Michael Rooker's voice though, I only afterwards did I click.
I love this guy's voice, eh?
I personally, I'm not a big fan of his voice, but then I was like, oh yes, he's Yondu. But once again,
he had that beard that like,
and also in Guardian of the Galaxies, he's blue. And so because of the makeup and that in the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, you don't actually recognize them. But then in doing research, I actually went and searched her while I think I was watching the film when I searched her. Cause I was like, where is this little girl from and who is she? And then I figured out it was her. Michael Rooker, I actually didn't know until I was doing research for the show. And then I was like, cause I saw they said he was in Guardian of the Galaxy. So I was like, who is he in Guardian of the Galaxies? And then when I saw Yondu, I was like, oh yes, of course. And you know, do you remember how with Guardians of the Galaxies, you don't like Yondu? Especially the first one.
Yeah.
But then in the second one, you're like, cause he dies it's the second one he dies in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And then but I must say once again, I didn't think that was Yondu. When he was acting, there was nothing that went, he was in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which I think just makes the actors more brilliant, because when you're not able to place them with another film, it means they're good at acting, because it means they're not just being themselves on screen. It means they're acting out a role that they've been given. That's what I enjoyed about Dylan O'Brien in this film, was I haven't really seen him. I personally just haven't watched another film with him in it. But this film was the second film, because obviously Maze Runner was a series. So the second film, a film series, not a series. And I really enjoyed his acting in it. I thought he was very, very good. And then talking about the dogs, do you know, there's very little trivia on the film. So if you search for trivia, you don't find much, but there's these two items of trivia. The first one is the dog. So there was a dog named Boy in the film.
Boy
was portrayed by two Australian dogs. The one was called Hero and the other one was called Dodge. So they were two different dogs.
I knew that all along. There was just something about Dodge that I was more favorable with Dodge.
Oh wow.
Than Hero. Yeah.
Oh wow. And then this is weird for me. So when filming with the dogs, only Dylan O'Brien was allowed to interact with Hero and Dodge. But then if Ariana Greenblatt was filming with the dogs, Dylan would have to take a day off and not be present on set.
Is it because he didn't like the dog? Did the dogs not get out?
No, I don't know. I don't know if, like that for me, I was like.
And obviously the train, listen to me. The train is dogged. The dog is
trained. Yeah.
Sure. That's interesting, eh?
But what's weird for me is those two were in scenes together with the dog. So there was a lot of the film where Dylan O'Brien was just Dylan O'Brien and the dog. Or Hero and Dodge, whichever one. But then there were scenes where, obviously, when he joined the survivors, the two survivors, now it was the four of them. It was the dog, him, and then the two survivors. And, yeah, how did they...
I don't know. I would like to give some dog, animal behavior reasons as to why. But, okay, maybe there are some dog trainers out there and perhaps they can comment and tell us. Because the biggest thing I can guess is maybe with the girl being around, maybe he's more protective. But then it's with maybe Dylan something, I don't know, didn't like.
I just feel like they made filming complicated.
Do you think that's why they had two dogs?
Maybe, no. Maybe he interacted with both. He did interact with both. Because it says when filming with dogs, only Dylan O'Brien was allowed to interact with Hero and Dodge. But if Ariana was on set, then Dylan would have to take off that day and not be present.
Maybe the dog was got along so well with Dylan. That maybe whenever they had to now let's get the dog to interact with the girl, maybe yeah. There was a distraction. But again, they train dogs. Surely there should be some sort of, yeah.
Look, the dog, I must be honest, even while watching the film, I was like, this dog is a pretty good actor. Do you understand? Like what they got the dog to do, or the dogs, because there were two of them. But what they got them to do was... It wasn't just the dog walking.
Because the dog had a character.
Yes, the dog did have a character. I mean, there was one point when the dog was scared. Like, literally, the dog was scared.
You would be able to, from this movie, sit down and write down attributes and, like, characteristics of this dog.
Yes.
You'd be able to say, this dog is scared. This dog does not like this. Does know that this and that, this and that. So, which, yeah, wow.
Which was, maybe that's why. Maybe they were trying to bring across the character of the dog. And obviously, the dog's not acting. The dog's just listening to commands.
So maybe one dog is better at that, and then the other dog is good at more. Maybe there was a specific look. So maybe there was a specific look or something that they want the dog to do. You know, like turn around and look and be like, type of thing. And they were like, wait, okay, we're battling with this dog. Hang on. Can I bring my other dog, Hero, or whatever? And then, hey, maybe it's something like that.
So that'd be pretty interesting. But I think having an animal on set like that is, it's quite something because, like I said, it's not a human being. I think it's harder than maybe having a child on set.
You think so?
Specifically what they got the dog to do in this film, yes. Because, like I said, the dog wasn't, so in most films, the dog's there, but they're not doing much. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there are presents, you know, obviously there's some things that they have to do, but it's not what the dog had to close a door on a bus. The dog had to run and grab something. The dog had to act, the part where the dog acts scared, that dog was acting scared. Like, you actually felt the fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That was intense. I'd say that was the best moment for the dog. The dog, if it wins an award, it must win an award for that moment. But I think just because, like, a child you could scare. Do you get what I'm saying? So you scare the child, you put them there, you quickly film the scene, and then you take them. You're like, oh, no, it's okay. Don't worry. I was just joking. Do you get what I'm saying? Whereas a dog, you can't scare.
Talking about, like, lifting your hand, a dog, and quickly shoot. Type of thing.
Yeah, you see, it doesn't. So, yeah. But they did it. They had the dog as a character.
And it was very good.
It was very good.
I think if they had awards for animals or dogs or whatever, this dog would definitely...
Yes, Hero and Dodge should definitely win awards. Because they were...
And they both have to get an award. Now, I didn't know this, but did you know that the film's title was actually changed from Monster Problems...
Oh, really?
To Love and Monsters. Yes, because I was young in Wikipedia and not Wikipedia, well, in Google, and it said Monster Problems cast. So if you actually Google Monster, it's already like whatever, registered, whatever you want to, Google's already Google. You clever Google, you, all right, Monster Problems, and you'll actually see the movie itself as well, the whole cast and everything, the cover, whatever you want to call it, the artwork, the scenes from it. 93% like this film, blah, 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 the whole cast and everything. Pretty interesting, huh?
That is pretty cool. The one thing I did enjoy about this film is it has an anti-lockdown message. I don't know if you picked that up. So in the end of the film, he basically says to everyone, stop hiding, let's come out. We can actually live and survive amongst these things, because he survived 14 days on the surface. So that was pretty cool, the whole message. And I really liked at the end of the film, he said, don't settle. He actually got it from the two survivors, but don't settle even if it's the end of the world, yeah. Which I thought was really, really cool. So the message of the movie also is nice. It's especially for, I think, the time that we're in, because it actually like makes you realize, oh wait, and we're not facing giant insects. I'm so glad we're not facing giant insects.
We're facing teeny little, tiny little insects. You know, the small ones that can like crawl up your nose and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least they're not big and they don't eat you.
Right. Now, obviously this film leaves the door open for a sequel. The way it ends, especially the last scene, right? Which I think would be pretty cool. And I hope they do a sequel. I don't know if they are planning to do a sequel. They say a sequel could depart more from the first movie's Zombieland inspirations. This film actually did have it reminded me a lot of Zombieland. And you know what other film it reminded me of was Warm Bodies. Obviously, just
Warm Bodies,
it's yes. Not the zombies, but Warm Bodies also was that comedy.
The comedy out of something quite horrific. Horror. Yes. Yeah.
So what they're saying is the sequel could focus on a new colony, slotting Joel into more of a supporting role, which I feel they should not do.
Well,
we like Joel.
Yes.
Yes. And then they're saying it has performed well enough to justify a sequel. So hopefully we'll get a sequel.
Well, they haven't solved the giant ants insect problem.
Yeah, they haven't.
So they could do something pretty cool there. Like there's some, and I'm not saying go and kill all the insects. You know, get a big show or something. I'm just
saying.
Well,
they are monsters, so you know.
But if they're small, they're not monsters anymore. You know what I'm saying?
As in you're saying get them small again.
Like the animation in the beginning, how is that? I liked the whole explanation of everything in the beginning. Yes. And they're like the ants.
No, that was very good.
The cockroach and something else I just found. So how's this for a release date jumping around? The film was originally to be released on March the 6th, but then in October, the release date was moved to April. In February, it was moved again to February. And then in August, Paramount announced due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the film would be released via video on demand on October.
Shame.
And then they changed the title.
To Love and Monsters.
Right. The film also played in 387 theaters for the weekend of October 16th to 16th.
Oh, 18th. Okay. Yeah.
So the the weekend of the 16th to the 18th of October this year. Yeah. Obviously, yep. Because it was released this year. Yes.
So the director stated that a sequel is dependent on how the audience receives the movie. And then also he said that Love and Monsters was never created with the intent of turning it into a franchise. The team simply wanted to make a cool movie and have fun with it. In fact, not visualizing the film as the first in a series was important for both the director and Dylan O'Brien. However, Michael did not actively campaign against the possibility either.
Well, the film has an approval rating of 93%.
So it has done pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I suppose maybe Dylan O'Brien didn't want to get into another franchise, because Maze Runner was three films. It was a franchise. It was years. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe he was like, I just want to do a standalone. He has done standalone films, but he was like, I just want to do another standalone film. But I personally would like a sequel.
Me too.
I would like a sequel. Yeah. So hopefully they're saying if it's given the green light, we could expect a release sometime in 2023 or later. So that's probably what we're looking at for if a sequel is decided upon. Yeah. But it was a pretty good film. It's a feel good movie. You laugh. You don't cry. Don't cry.
Really emotional.
Yeah, unless you're really, really emotional and upset about something else and you just happen to be watching the movie at that moment and then you're like, don't cry. Yeah, you feel, it's a nice adventure. It's actually just a nice adventure.
You laugh about it.
Yes, exactly. You are holy. You are holy.
reactive. Being reactive is being a people of reaction, people of change, being a movement of young people. It's not just a band. It's not just good music or inspiring words. It's not just catchy. It's life-changing.
You can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Go watch the film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you watch it and you liked it, if you watch it and you didn't like it and you don't know what's wrong with me and Ryan and you just feel like we have very bad taste in movies, let us know on our social media pages. We are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, Parler, Gab, and Reddit. You can go and let us know your thoughts, or you can WhatsApp us directly. Our WhatsApp line is on Instagram in our Instagram bio. But, you know, you can also go and tell us if you liked it. You don't just have to tell us if you didn't like it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
We want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. And we also have an amazing website where you can listen to all of our shows, including, wow, it's including, there's sports, there's astronomy, there's fashion and trends, there's girl shows, guy shows.
Yeah.
There's music shows.
I like the astronomy show.
Ryan likes the astronomy show.
So it's up to that one. I
to
like it.
Andrew from The Void. That's so the go one. Check out the other Active FM shows. They're really, really awesome. And you can find them on www.activefm.co.za.
And perhaps you tell me that you don't have internet access, but you are on Spotify. Well, guess what? You can also go check for Active FM on your Spotify. Go and subscribe. And, you know, you'll get the download. Yes, let's call it that one. And then as well as if you go to Google, if you have Google Podcast, what is that? It is an app like the Apple Podcast. Oh, talk about Apple Podcast. If you go on Apple Podcast as well, so Google Podcast and Apple Podcast, you can get us there as well. Hey, pretty cool.
Yep.
And if you are a YouTube fan, you can also go onto YouTube. You can search for Active TV on YouTube. Go check under the playlist. The movie show is there. And as well as you can search for Active FM. Yes, Waze. I promise you it is true. If you don't believe me, go search. You will go find our shows there as well, amongst all the other shows that are there. Yes, there are plenty more.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, if you're bored, if you need stuff to listen to, we got you.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so, we will see you next time.
Let's release them to go and Google, to go and look at all the other shows that are there.
Exactly.
So, we release you.
So, off this you is go. Us signing out.
Until next week.
Goodbye.
Cheers.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.